sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers. I'm your host, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, and I'm excited to be here with you. Today, we're going to dive into refreshing notions of sex education with Amara Charles. But first, I have a special treat. Today, I have a person who is pioneering a whole new way for you to improve your health and stop aging, and this could make you happy. And of course, you know that this could make you have better sex. So my first guest today is David Schmidt. And David is the inventor of the LifeWave technology and founder of LifeWave. And just to tell you a little bit about David before I actually introduce him, we could say that previous to his experience or his experimenting in the health world, we could say he's a rocket scientist. I don't know. I'll find out from him. But reading his resume tells me that he's a rocket scientist, which makes me laugh because usually I say to people, this isn't rocket science. But I don't know. When talking to him, I got to be a little careful. David, I want to welcome you to my show, Sex and Happiness.
Lori, it is great to be here, and I was laughing when you were saying that because one of my hobbies growing up was building rockets, and my friend and I, we used to terrorize the neighborhood by shooting rockets off, and sometimes they would land on people's houses and things like that. So, but that's as far as I go into the world of being a rocket science.
Well, when I read this stuff, I want to ask you, of course, why did you dedicate yourself to health after developing something called a multi-fueled bladeless turbine power generation system and also something called a metal combustion rocket engine? If you develop those, that tells me that you're a rocket scientist. At least you are to me. So how did you get into the field of health?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, honestly, I've been interested in health since I was very young. I started exercise, weightlifting, wrestling from when I was about 10 or 11 years old. And back in the 70s when I was growing up, I'll be 48 this year. And so back in the 70s when I was growing up, there was a book that came out, which was really a landmark book, and that was Life Extension.
I remember it well. I got to tell you something. I'm part of a movement that's into physical immortality, so I'm very familiar with that book. Go ahead.
Well, good. Maybe we can get you there with lightweight technology. I'll share some things that maybe I wouldn't normally share that you would be very, very excited about on that subject of physical immortality. We're developing technologies to extend lifespan way beyond what people are thinking of as possible, I would say, of biblical proportions. But, you know, going back.
I'd love to hear that. I just want to let you know that's music to my ears.
Oh, great, great. Well, let's make sure that we cover it then.
Right.
Well, again, back to the background of this. So when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, Life Extension, that book was coming out, and I read it. I was absolutely fascinated with it. And I've been taking supplements and exercise and being healthy my whole life. And but I've also been an inventor. And when I received an opportunity to design equipment for the Navy, I took it. And I was able to basically go into a think tank and develop whatever I wanted to. It was a very rare opportunity. And it was a very exciting part of my life. But I always came back to health and wanting to improve quality of life. You know, as Suzanne Summers has, if we don't have our health, we don't have anything.
And, I couldn't agree more. But this, so, do you feel that this makes people, do you feel that better health makes people happier?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, over the past 8 years, I've traveled around the world and I've personally witnessed transformation in people's lives when they've gone from being low in energy or not sleeping at night or being in pain and suffering to having those problems solved with our technology, which is natural and drug free. And when you witness this, you see people get their lives back and they are happy.
I love this, David. So what really is, I mean, I just want to let you know quickly that I use your patches. I've used the pain patches for when I've had jet lag and a lot of pain from being on a lot of planes. And within minutes, the pain's gone away and slept well. And the next day I had no jet lag. I've been on the glutathione patches for about 2-3 months now. So it doesn't work for me to just say that, though. It's better for people because, listen, the people listening are into sex and happiness. They want to know, how can this increase their stamina? How can this increase their energy? How can this maybe even increase their libido? You know, so tell me what it is and how people could connect to this in a really practical way.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to divulge some ancient Chinese secrets. So if I can do that with your audience, then that will be great. I say that kind of kidding around. But, you know, the truth is that Eastern medicine had this long figured out before us here in the West for thousands of years. Acupuncture and herbalism has been around. And as a matter of fact, one thing that's very interesting is 1.8 billion people use acupuncture as their primary means of healthcare.
And
It is. And so it means it works. And but we're not using acupuncture here. We're using our LifeWave patches as a non-invasive means of stimulating acupuncture points. So the people in your listening audience can think of this as we've brought acupuncture now into the 21st century. We've got a new technology that doesn't use needles and can stimulate these acupuncture points and produce these wonderful effects. So we go back to Chinese medicine, and one of the things that we find out is that the sexual energy is stored in the kidneys. So for men, I'll just talk about men at the moment because that's what I feel I'm qualified to talk about.
Yeah, that's good. That's great.
If you want to have me talk about women, that is going to be a very short conversation. But with the area of men, one of the things that we know is that if a man goes to an acupuncturist and he wants to improve his libido, his sex drive, his stamina and performance, it's going to revolve around improving the health of the kidneys. And we have a very safe and convenient way of doing that we've proven through clinical studies, and that's to apply our patches either on the bottom of the feet, which are the main access point for the kidneys in the body, or actually just below the belly button. By doing that, you bioelectrically stimulate the kidneys and the acupuncture meridian, and while we don't make any specific medical claims for our products regarding sexual performance, we have anecdotally received testimonials over the years from men that have been very pleased with the results.
Now, which patch is this? Which one would they use on this? And, you know, because I teach about sex worldwide, you know, I could probably bring in a lot of other anecdotes as people that I know start to experiment with these. So which patch would you be putting at the bottom of the feet to stimulate the kidneys?
Yeah, they would be doing two things. Number one, they would be applying the energy patches on the bottom of the feet to the kidney one acupuncture points. And this information is in our literature.
Yes. Well, we'll give that in a minute. We'll give the website.
But absolutely.
And the energy patch, and then what else?
Well, and then I would also recommend our newest product, which is called Eon, which goes into anti-aging. But this is a remarkable product because after 8 clinical studies, we've substantiated that this can reduce stress on the body and as a result improve stamina and performance and detox. So it has a wonderful effect on improving overall health.
That is fantastic, David. I'm really excited about this. Now, I went to your website, which is LifeWave. I think it's at lifewave.com,
Yes.
and I saw a bunch of athletes who were using these patches. This is kind of, we don't have much time left, but I just want to say I noticed David Beckham with a picture of David Beckham with a patch on, and I have to tell you, it doesn't get any sexier than
Well,
that.
I have not, never had the privilege of meeting David Beckham, but I was in his locker room, and I can share that story another time. But I was actually Dr. Haltiwanger, and you want to talk about a name for your show. But this is no joke. The medical doctor for our company is named Dr. Haltiwanger, and he and I were invited by Real Madrid to fly to Spain. When David Beckham was playing there, to help educate them on how they could get the best use out of our product. So that was a wonderful experience that we had, and we were delighted to see that he was using our patches.
That is amazing. Well, David Schmidt, founder and inventor of LifeWave Technology, founder of LifeWave.com. People can find out more information there. And of course, I have a sponsor of this show, who is my sister, Valerie. And I'll tell people a little bit later in the show how they can get in touch with her to see if they want this as a business opportunity, et cetera. But I want to thank you so much for doing this, for dedicating this part of your life to this. And I plan to let people know about it. That's why I wanted you on the show, because I think that people who want to have a great sex life and who want to have increased happiness in their life have got to feel good. And to me, the bottom line of what you're doing is getting people to feel good in a really simple way. No operations, no medications, no horrendous side effects. You're just giving people something really simple, like a little band-aid to put on, and I really acknowledge you for that.
Well, thank you, Lori. I really appreciate that. And you're right. Anti-aging should be about the benefits that you get today. And I hope you'll have me back in the future, and where we can talk about, some of these really exciting things that we're doing with our products to dramatically extend lifespan. So not only can you ex extend how long you live, but stay younger in the process. And
I'm definitely going to take you up on that. Thank you so very, very much. And I will be back to you with lots of stories of successful libido increasing based on that.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you, David.
Have a
We're
great
going
day.
to take a short break now. When we come back, I'll be with Amara Charles talking to you about sex education, a whole new view of sex education. You're listening to Sex and Happiness. This is Laurie Handlers. I'll be right back.
Have you ever wished for an end to pests in and around your home, around your office? Stop paying for dangerous chemicals that can harm your children, your pets, and your clients. Today in Arizona and Florida, an environmentally responsible pest control company named Ladybug has set up shop to provide natural and organic pest control services. Ladybug can help you stop even the most persistent, nastiest bugs with green, organic products that are friendly to people and pets. In addition, there are franchise opportunities in Arizona, Florida, and throughout the USA. To learn more about Ladybug's home-friendly and earth-smart green pest control services, visit the Ladybug website at ladybugcorp.com or call us at 561-276-7600. Ladybug guarantees you another eco-friendly, pest-free day, naturally.
Wondering what book you should read to jumpstart your sex life and increase your happiness? Try my book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by me, Laurie Handlers. This short, easy-to-read book will make you laugh at yourself, and it may possibly make you cry as you discover my tantric secrets for happiness and how they apply to you. In the book, I begin with the 10th law, make love in the unknown, and then I work you all the way through laws 1 through 9 to teach you how to be in the unknown, fresh, every moment of every day of your life. Sex and Happiness puts the innocence and love back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. It's only $19.99 in paperback and $14.99 ebook. Go to sexandhappiness.com to order your copy of Sex and Happiness by me, Laurie Handlers, the host of Tantra Cafe. Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and I am Laurie Handlers, your host. And I want to remind you that you can follow me, Laurie Handlers, on Facebook or Laurie Handlers on Twitter. And you can also write me any kind of fan mail or questions about any of my guests to sexandhappiness@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. I have heard from some of you recently about this show, and I'm excited that you've moved right over with me. So please keep the mail coming. I love hearing from you. I love hearing that this makes a difference in your life. In the last segment, I was talking to David Schmidt about an amazing revolutionary way to get healthier and happier through these life wave patches. And I want to let you know that you can get in touch with Valerie at 714-928-6399 to find out how you can order patches. You can order the energy patches or the ion patches, or you can consider becoming an independent life wave distributor. That's 714-928-6399. It's an amazing product. It works on your pets as well. Well, I told you that in this part of the show, we were going to be dealing with sex education. You know, I don't know about you, but I was not taught anything about sex. I played doctor with my cousin Paul, and that's how I found out about sex. And finally, when my mother told me anything about sex, she was embarrassed. She was shy about her body. She told me the very basics, you know, that an egg gets fertilized by a sperm, but she really didn't tell me the mechanics. And I found out about sex by experimenting with my own body. And it would have been so much more helpful for me to have known something really about how my body works and about how to connect myself with my body, and then also about how to connect myself deeply with another person intimately. So my guest today has quite a few things to say about this topic, how we educate young people. She's Amara Charles, and she's an internationally acclaimed sex and intimacy expert. Amara is a passionate and some say mystical sex positive teacher. She's trained in both the shamanic and white tigress Taoist sexual arts. Her forthcoming book, The Sexual Practices of Kwadoshka, will be available worldwide this August. Amara, welcome back to my show. It is wonderful to have you again.
Thanks, Laurie. It's great to be back.
Great. And I have a quick question for you right off the bat. What's the difference between teen sexuality and college sexuality? Like people who are more, you know, college age, like should they be taught differently? And let's address them separately today, but should they be taught differently if yes?
Well, of course they should be taught differently. You know, they're at a different level of maturity. And so that's really the big thing about sex ed for teens or college students is that, you know, you've got to meet them where they are. So you got to meet teens where they are, and you got to meet college students exactly where they are.
And so, I like to start with teens because I feel that that's the place that was really lacking for me in my growing up. But before we do that, a couple of things in my intro of you need just a moment of clarification. So when I say you are in the shamanic white tigress Taoist sexual arts, what is that?
Well, I've been teaching spiritual sexuality, doing workshops around the world for about 23 years or so. And I focus on teaching adults spiritual sexuality. But for today, I'd really like to talk a little bit about, you know, why I'm here and, you know, why I have some authority in talking about teen sex. I've only worked in the system one time. I taught film using 8mm cameras in Hollywood. And my students' parents were Hollywood directors. I had them filming their dreams and stuff like that. It was great. And I'm really more of a guerrilla sex educator, I guess you could say. I like one night stands. You know, I like to kind of invade the system with a little love and shock and awe. And, you know, I've taught at universities, University of Arizona. So I have some experience. College age students, And I also directed a summer camp called Wonder Camp for 10 years. And, you know, the main thing is that I've stayed outside of the system because I can say what I want and, you know, I can be a lot more intimate, a lot more real. And that's what I think sex education for teens, that's what I think it takes. You know, it takes being honest and being right with them.
I think your point that you're making here is that you kind of hit and run, which I have as well, because the system is kind of not sex positive. The system is just say no or fear, you know, total fear factor, or so conservative that nobody's talking about it. And then to actually get somewhere and be creative with a group of teens, you have to kind of be creatively attuned to where your entrance point is. That's what you mean, right?
Yes. Totally. We have big systems, and you know, I think that teens need to learn how and when to say yes to sex. They don't need to just learn how to say no. You know, the educational system is huge, and it's really too big to succeed. You know, the big systems, they have to be neutral. They have to be fact-based. But the problem with the big educational system, you know, they do their best. The problem with these systems is that, you know, they don't address what's really going on for teens. And that's what teens need. And it is hard to do in a big system where everybody has their own beliefs and, you know, their own religious ideas and so forth. And so, you know, it's a huge challenge. I mean, how do you have an effective sexual education in any kind of a national program? It's really a challenge.
I think so. So we should not dwell on that, because I don't think you and I, although I know you well and I know me well, and I know we'd like to challenge that system and take it on, but for right now, I think we're not going to get very far in the show. So,
I would like to say, you know, something about abstinence education.
Okay.
We know that it backfired big time. And, you know, as tests have shown, rather than keeping teens from having sex, it actually often provokes them to have more. And if you know anything about the teen brain, you know exactly why this is so. You know, tell a teen what not to do, and of course that's exactly what, you know, they want to do.
I think the statistics are something like the United States has the highest teen pregnancy rate in the part of the world that's not called the third world. You know, the part of the world that's called the world which is educated and technology and information oriented, we have the highest teen pregnancy rate. So it's
right. And
this is fair.
Right. And the reality is that, you know, teens are curious. I mean, they have their hormones are raging and they're feeling, you know, attractions, they're interested. They want to connect. So there has to be something, there has to be some way to reach these children. And I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about how can we reach teens? What are the things that you need to know about teaching sex to teens? What does work? You know, how can we protect our teens? We got to protect them. I think teaching things about HIV and STDs and, you know, sexual predators, all that is very important. And I think the schools and Planned Parenthood, there are national programs that do their best and they do a good job. These things are important. The thing is that it's also important to teach them how to choose and how to say yes, when to say yes, when to say no, but also, you know, what are they going to do about the energies that they got running in their bodies? What are they going to do about sex?
This is great. This is really good. I couldn't agree with you more. I have, you know, it's, the question is on my mind about these MTV videos. You know, the kids, it's not only that their energy is working throughout their bodies, but also they're being bombarded with videos, music videos of pure sex.
Yeah, I mean, that's the world we live in. I mean, they can see a lot of things that you and I probably, I never even thought about those things. And they're inundated with all kinds of sexual information, enticement, and so on. And so it stirs up their minds and it makes them even more curious. That's why I think we need more sex education, not less. I mean, just, you know, defunding Planned Parenthood is in this day and age, which is the only family, national family program we have that people can go to. Defunding Planned Parenthood in today's world, you know, so that less people can get sexual education is just, in my opinion, is just, you know, it's tragic. So I really support the national programs that do provide education and condoms and protection and so forth. Well, yeah,
take a short break. Yeah. We're just going to take a short break right here. And when we come back, I'd like to get really into, you know, what your plan is, you know, what it is, the way children, you know, teenagers should be educated in this sexual way. So I'd like to go into some more detail about it. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. My guest today is Amara Charles, who is a sex educator, intimacy expert, and she is very, very passionate about education of the young, how we educate our young in a sex positive way. So stay tuned. Amara and I will be right back.
Would you like to try a natural product that would enhance your orgasms? My guest today is Shayna Venice, the founder of New Zealand Pure, a company that makes unique products for sexual wellness. Shayna, what is it that people can use to enhance their orgasms? Everybody's trying to do that.
Absolutely. Well, there are different factors that, you know, come into play why we don't have explosive orgasms. One is, you know, our vaginal secretions aren't flowing like they used to. Perhaps you're a little dry, perhaps you're a little irritated. Well, the great thing about silk, which is made from kiwi vine extract, is that it helps to balance your own pH and increase your vaginal secretions. The result is explosive, satisfying, wonderful orgasms and joyful sex.
Wow, Shayna, thanks so much for that description. Wonderful. If you'd like to find out more about silk, go to silkusa.com. That's SYLKUSA.com. You can find out more about silk from me as well. Write to Laurie@TantraCafe.com.
If you're looking for the absolute best holiday present that you could possibly get for someone, consider Tanga Fine Lingerie. Tanga Fine Lingerie comes from France and Italy. It's amazing fabric, lace, and silk. And you won't find anything like it anywhere. That's www.tangafinelingerie.com. T-A-N-G-A, finelingerie.com. Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, the show, and I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. I'm here with Amara Charles today, and we were just talking about the only national program there is, which is Planned Parenthood, for family planning and helping people get educated about all kinds of things. But Amara mentioned in the last segment that she feels that teens should know when to say yes, really, and how to protect themselves or when they want to say yes, how to protect themselves when they want to say no, etc. So, Amara, I'd like to ask you some of your feelings about this. How do we go about it? If a parent came to you, a parent and a teen came to you, or if just the parents sent their teens to you, where would you start? This is such a huge topic.
Well, you know, it's a profound and wonderful topic, because what I believe is that we all have to become sexual educators. That teens, whether we have kids or not, young people are going to come to us in different ways. And so one of the most important things is to get educated yourself first. And what I mean by this is, you know, if you are a sexual mess, so to speak, or you have confusion or doubt, or you're, you know, hindered by guilt, blame, or shame about sex, you know, that's what teens pick up. Whatever it takes, go and heal your own wounds around sex first. You know, go to workshops, read books, try to be more playful in your own sex life. Because when you are relaxed, when you're more curious and open about sex yourself, your kids and teens will get it. They just pick it up by osmosis. And so the more comfortable you are in your own body and the more you comfortable you are about sex, that's how you can become an effective sexual educator.
So it feels to me like we don't have time for that. You know, you and I both educate adults, you know, in sexuality. And I've had some parent-teen courses myself that have been somewhat effective. But I have to tell you that when I worked with the teens, they were much more receptive and quickly grasped what I was talking to them about and what I was teaching them than the parents did. And I was working with a very open group of parents. I mean, they didn't seem like they were going to, I mean, they, you know, they were going to heal, but they didn't seem like they were going to move quickly. And I felt that the teenagers needed the information sooner than waiting for the parents to get it together, if you will.
Well, you know, I agree with you, Lori, that teens are totally receptive, especially because someone like you, you're teaching, you're not preaching. You know, maybe, and maybe it was just me, but I know I had an automatic button inside when I was a teen that said, "Oh yeah," you know, anytime an authority figure tried to lay their morals on me. So if you want your kids to be safe and to make good choices and you want them to listen to you, you have to earn their respect by walking your talk.
Yes.
You know, you get a lot further and you have a better time sharing what you know rather than preaching beliefs. So it's not like we all have to go out and get a PhD in sex before we can teach our children. What I'm saying is do anything you can to just feel and be more comfortable with your own sexuality, because the teens that you're with, they're going to pick up on it and they're going to get when you're being honest and real with them. That's what teens listen to. That's why, you know, you must have been a really great educator because you just met them where they are.
Oh, we had a ball. I mean, I taught them everything from what was going on in their bodies. And I had a range of kids. I had kids who were 12 to 17. So I had a big range there. I mean, there were a couple of 15-year-old girls in the class who really didn't want to talk too much with a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old boy in the class. That, you know, they were already getting giddy about that. But we did it nonetheless, and we spoke about boundaries, we spoke about different changes their bodies were going through. We talked about the pleasures of sex, orgasms, what was that, I taught them how to put on condoms. You know, we used that. This is a kind of a cute thing. I've got a bunch of different condoms, different colors and different flavor condoms, and we put them on bananas, and one of them was Dayglo. So the boys held the Dayglo banana over a lamp, and then we went into this dark closet, and this banana was, you know, Dayglo glowing, and one of the younger boys said, "Oh, wow, if I had this on, I would always know where my penis was."
That's fantastic.
A lot of funny stuff came up.
Yeah, I mean, and it's really rare to have those kind of opportunities where you can be playful and have some humor. And I think it's wonderful what you did, because that's what I mean by being real. It's not about being so serious and only, you know, teaching about the dangers as if, you know, sex is this very dangerous thing. You know, yes, of course, there's things you really need to pay attention to because it is serious and there are huge consequences for pregnancy and all of that. But to bring in that kind of humor, I mean, I love the image of the banana and so forth. And, you know, that'll stay with them forever. And yeah, that's such a beautiful way of teaching. One of the things I did when I was at Wonder Camp is I took a whole day from the summer and I had the girls talk, boys talk marathon. So we had just the girls and the counselors, and then the guys were off and we stayed in the cabin all day and they could ask anything they wanted all day long about sex. And it was remarkable what happened. It was the stories and the sharing, and they were teaching each other. You know, the young ones learned from the older ones, and, you know, we had a mini tribe, and the older ones learned from the younger ones. And so, you know, I think these kind of situations that are more casual, and, you know, more real, guided by a trusted adult, I think these kinds of situations are critical and extremely impactful in a teen's life.
What you're saying reminds me, I used to do youth forums in another lifetime. It was really for drug prevention. I did youth forums in Washington, D.C. under Mayor Sharon Pratt Kelly, and I did them all over the city. And it seems like what you're describing could be having youth sex forums, you know, in various cities and various parts of the country where they do exactly that, what you're talking about, where they actually just get to talk and ask questions, maybe sitting in circle, just the girls and then just the boys. It's a fabulous model for and an effective model, I think, for doing something with teenagers. What are some of the things that came up there?
It was fascinating because, you know, when you look at the teen brain, when they're, you know, between, oh, I don't know, you know, 11 and let's say 16, 17, some of them are sexually active and others aren't. And that's, I think, one of the really important things is that not all teens, you know, are all interested in going and having sex immediately. Some are more curious than others. So you've got to know your teen. You got to know what their character is like, what their nature is like. Some teens are going to naturally wait. Others are more adventurous and they're really curious. And you've got to address both of those kinds of teens. Personally, I would like to advise every teen to wait, because I think that's a very wise thing to do. Yes, they can explore sensuality, but I think that they should wait. But the teen brain is focused on now, and they don't want to hear about waiting. You know, most of them are, you know, just consumed by what's going on right now with their friends. So the kind of things that came up were about boys, and, you know, they were joking about all the boys. I mean, it was like a mini dating game, and everybody paired up with everybody else. And what I found really fascinating was that the girls in this group, and maybe it was because I was there, I don't know, but they were surprisingly kind. I mean, they weren't critical and they didn't cut down the boys. They saw the shy ones and they joked about them, and they, you know, saw the gutsy ones and they talked about those guys, and they paired each other up. And so what I'm trying to say is that there's a lot of natural innocence, and teens, you know, like to talk about these things. They have attractions. That's what they're really interested in, is what should they do with their attractions? It's not about teaching them to go have sex right away.
Right. This is such a great point. This is a great point about attractions. What do you do with the energy of attraction? Because it makes you feel like you have butterflies in your stomach and all kinds of great sensations in the body. Well, we're gonna take another break now. And when we come back, I want to talk with you more about this, you know, what to do about the attractions. How do you teach teens the difference between sensuality and sexuality? And then maybe we'll be able to touch on the college scene as well, what to do with college age students. So Amara, we'll be right back with you. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Sex and Happiness. And my guest today is Amara Charles, and she's sharing with us some delicious things about working with teenagers. And she was just talking about the teenage girls. And we'll see. We'll see if we can get into some of what you do when the emotions are running and there are so many attractions. We'll be right back.
Many times on Tantra Cafe, you've heard my guests and me discuss emotional release techniques. Now, you can do emotional release work in the privacy of your own home. In my CD, Shamanic Release in Lati Han, I create a very, very safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work I'm known for in my Tantra courses. First, I set you up with the proper positioning and breathing, and then I guide you through emotional states to the beat of tribal African rhythms. Try this CD as an easy way to do your personal clearing work on a regular basis and watch your relationships walk free from emotional baggage. You can order my CD at butterflyworkshops.com for only $20. I believe you're worth it. I hope you do. Go to butterflyworkshops.com and get your copy now and walk free from emotional baggage.
We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. And I want to know if you're unable to sleep because of pain or if you've ever heard about how the body needs glutathione. Possibly you could use a boost of energy in your life. And if you do, you might have heard earlier on this show, I recommend highly that you try LifeWave Patches. You can go to LifeWave Patches for Pets and People on Facebook. And you can also see Suzanne Summers' interview with Dr. David Schmidt, who was just my guest earlier in the show. Find out more about how these patches reduce stress and inflammation while increasing energy in the body. Call Valerie at 714-928-6399 to find out how you can order your patches or consider becoming an independent LifeWave distributor. That's 714-928-6399. Well, I'm back with Amara Charles, and we're talking about sex education for teens. And Amara, where we left off, you made some really incredible points there about the difference between sensuality and sexuality, that young people need to maybe learn how to explore this, explore their attractions and what it feels like and how their bodies feel rather than just jumping into sex.
Well, you know, this is a really huge topic, and you've inspired me, you know, so much to think about this. I'm going to post an article about 10 things you need to know about teaching your teen about sex. I'm going to post that tomorrow at amaracharles.com. You know, so in case we don't get to all this, because it's a huge topic, and
can you tell us? I'm at the edge of my seat. Can you tell us a little, like some of the 10 things?
Well, yeah.
I think you told us one. One was to find out more about your own self as an adult, to become more comfortable with yourself.
Yeah. Educate yourself. Well, another one of them is you know, to let teens make their own mistakes, because they're going to anyway. You know, when I was a teen, I fought hard over my right to be foolish. And most of the time, if anyone tried to tell me what to do, I went and did what I wanted anyway. So, you know, consider how many unclear boundaries, foolish relationships, sexual mishaps did you make when you were a teen? But you somehow made it. And that's the point I want to make, is that you got to trust your teens, because they're going to make it too. So, yes, protect them against real harm. But besides that, the best thing you can do for your teen is the give them the space to blunder and let them make their own mistakes and then be there for them. That's the most important thing I want to say. So, you know, how do you teach your, you know, when you talk about attraction and the difference between, you know, sensuousness and sex for a teen, you know, those are really adult concepts. Everything is sensuous for a teen and one level, you know, they're exploring all kinds of attractions and, you know, who they like. That's what they're thinking about. They're not really thinking in most cases right away. Anyway, they're not thinking about sex per se the way we do as adults. They're not thinking about relationships so much. They're thinking about, you know, who can I be friends with? How can I fit in? That's what's on their minds. They're thinking about, you know, if I hook up with so-and-so, you know, am I going to be cool? And so you gotta, you know, meet them where they are.
A lot of girls try, you know, do sex acts to be cool. I mean, I knew girls who had sex with a whole football team because they thought that was cool. And I know as adults, they probably regret that they did that.
Well, you know, like I said, yeah, maybe they did regret it. I don't know. Maybe they look upon it as one of their fondest memories. I mean, I don't know. I said, if I did that, I would certainly remember it. But, you know, what I'm trying to say is that, you know, when we're a teen, I mean, it's a given. You're going to do things that are foolish. The question is, you know, how can you guide a teen and be there for them when they do something foolish? You know, how can you encourage them to follow their attractions, to go for, you know, what they're fascinated by in a good way?
Yeah,
and so, yeah, so, you know, there's all kinds of ways to do this. And I think the most important thing, and this, so this is another one, is to be honest, to be real. And, you know, and try to be wise in what you're telling teens. You know, see, if you're real, if you're honest, you know, talk about your mistakes, talk about your blunders, talk about your own foolishness. You know, I'm sure you did that when you were teaching your groups of teens. You talked about like what it was like for you. And as soon as you do that, you know, you're real, you're honest, and you're saying, you know, I'm not perfect, because teens are not really interested in, you know, you being perfect. They want to hear about, you know, where you messed up, where, how you learned. You know?
Well, I, you know, the other thing, I mean, I told them, and I, you know, I'm pleased to share, is that I was very promiscuous. I mean, in the sense of knowledge, I was the girl who would ask the boys, the older boys, the athletes, what a sexual term was. And then I would run back to the locker room in high school and I would tell the other girls, this is what this means, or this is what that means. And I had a lot of energy. I'm a very vibrant and energetic person. So
yes, and you were the sexual cheerleader. Yay.
Yeah. But I really didn't rush into sex.
Yeah, and me either.
It surprised people. Yeah. But it surprises when I speak to people that I went to high school with now, which is, you know, lots and lots of years later. And I say I was a virgin until I was in college. They're shocked because they thought I wasn't. They thought, you know, some people thought I was just so, you know, I just had a lot of energy. I was a school leader. I was everything. And so I certainly got into the sensuousness of sexuality, but I didn't get into the stark sex of sexuality because, you know what? Because my father told me that I was going to have to be responsible. He said, if I got pregnant, I was going to have to deal with that. And you know what? I didn't want to get pregnant.
Yes.
So I wasn't going to deal with it. I just was never going to do that.
Well, I mean, that's fantastic that your father said that. That's what I mean. That is sex education. That's what I mean. Like, we all have to be sex educators. Sometimes it comes from our dad, from our mom, from an aunt, and so on. Yeah. I was shy. I'm with you. I didn't have my first sexual experience until I was 19. Or maybe it was 17. I think it was 17. Anyway, you know, I also was, you know, I knew about it, but I didn't want to engage directly sexually. Now, I don't know if teens are, you know, I think a lot of them are a lot more active a lot earlier. My guess is that, you know, from what I gather, there's a lot more sex activity going on a lot earlier these days. So
there is. Girls are giving oral sex,
yes,
at parties. There was a term in college, gang banging. Well, that, you know, and that was something that, you know, I think in college, when I was in college, that was a very rare thing. But I think there are parties now where 12 and 13 year olds go to, and girls perform oral sex on boys. That's like just what they do.
Yeah. And I've also heard that they shave each other. That's one of their favorite things to do. Yeah. Well, you know, how are we going to address this? I mean, for whatever reasons, there is just a lot more liberation and there's a lot more sex activity going on early. So that's why I think, you know, sex education is even more important. What you got to ask your child, you know, are you sexually active? And if they're not, you know, would you like to be? And so it's up to parents and mentors to ask the questions. I think that's the most important aspect of sexual education, is ask the teen questions. Ask them what they're doing. And, you know, even if you're scared to hear the answer, you got to ask them, because that's beginning the discussion and the dialogue. And that's where education happens. It's in those talks that we have when we ask, well, what are you doing? And you got to then, you know, be flexible. You have to, if they are sexually active, you know, you gotta talk about, just like what your father said. Well, are you prepared to get pregnant? You know, I think a lot of teens now, they're doing the oral sex because they figured out, I mean, they're not stupid. They figured out, well, you can't get pregnant, but we are going to have oral sex. So,
but you can get herpes.
Yeah, you can get it. You can. You know, you and I both know you can get all kinds of things. And so that's why you got to talk about it. What kind of things, you know, can happen? You know, not just out of fear, but you got to be real. What are the dangers? What are the precautions? And most importantly, especially when I was teaching, you know, the young girls, the thing I stress the most is that you've got to treat your own body as sacred, and that you only allow someone to touch you or to do anything with your body when you say yes. That is the most important thing you got to talk
to. This is the most important thing.
Yeah.
The most important thing, but that to value themselves, to know that their bodies are sacred and belong to only them. The bodies don't belong to their parents. Their bodies don't belong to their school, and their bodies don't belong to someone else. They only belong to them, and they will live in that body no matter what they choose to do. This is you're so right about this. You know, so right about this. They have to know how it's kind of like discernment coming from their own body.
Well, I talk about this in my forthcoming book, The Sexual Practices of Kodoshka. And, you know, I talk about how to, initiate sexual education. What are the components of good sexual education? And I think they're good, sound principles. You know, they're principles of nature. They're principles that say your body is a sacred vessel. They are principles that say, you know, you only should be sexual when you are connected with someone, when you care for them. You shouldn't just have sex, you know, to just prove that you're liked. Because that's why teens are having early sex, is they're having it because, you know, they want to be liked. That's the most important thing for a teen. Well, you know, their sexual expression is really about, you know, being liked. It's about fitting in. It's about, you know, doing what everybody else is doing. And as far as I can see, we're not going to succeed in stopping them from doing that. They're going to do things to be liked. That's what their whole life is about.
Right.
The question is, like, how do you work with them, you know, where they are? You got to ask them, you know, how did it make you feel? You know, did you feel beautiful? Did you feel respected? I mean, young girls and young boys, they get this. They really understand respect.
Amara, we're gonna need to stop here. So I feel like we just got, you know, we just started getting hot, you know, but we got, in terms of sexuality, but we're at the end of our hour.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Great. Well,
I want to thank you. I really want to thank you for being my guest, and I want to let people know that they can get to you at amarachaurles.com, and it's spelled like this, A-M-A-R-A, Charles, C-H-A-R-L-E-S.com. There you can find out more about her book, her forthcoming book, The Sexual Practices of Kodoshka, and you can find out, she has a free erotic audio, The 9 Erogenous Zones of the Love Game. You also have something else. You have, what about your touch thing?
I have a DVD download for couples. It's called Touch for Two, and it's about I guide you in a sensuous touch experience, and it takes you through the elements of fire, wind, water, and earth. It's a very elegant, erotic experience. It's called Touch for Two.
Thank you so much today. Thank you, Amara. Please come back next week when I'm talking to another sexpert. I'd love to have you get happy by having greater sex, and have greater sex that will probably make you happy. Thanks again for listening. This is Laurie Handlers signing off for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Laurie and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Laurie's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to-